Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. It's a pleasure to welcome three members of the Relay for Life of Kenosha Organizing Committee. We have Sharon Burnett, Karen Graber, and Michelle Genowine. Michelle, Sharon, and Karen, thanks for being here on Parkside Today.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to be here.
Thanks, John, for having us.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad you're here. And the Relay for Life is an amazing event, and it's an anniversary year, right?
It is. 25th year in Kenosha.
25th year in Kenosha.
10th year at Parkside.
10th year at Parkside. Yeah. All great things. Tell me a little bit about what the goals of Relay for Life are. What are we trying to accomplish, achieve? It's awareness, but tell me a little bit about that.
I think we have a variety of goals. One of them, of course, is to raise money for cancer research and cancer programs that are supported by the American Cancer Society.
Mm-hmm.
Another is to raise awareness and to celebrate our survivors.
Oh,
the survivorship rate has been increasing year over year. Mm-hmm. So we have more survivors out there, and I think it's important that they know that we appreciate them and that they're supported.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in general, I think it's important to raise awareness just about the disease and what is being done to combat the disease and what kind of programs are available through the American Cancer Society and perhaps other institutions.
Sure. Now, Michelle, how long have you been involved with Relay for Life?
I've been involved in various capacities since 2003.
Oh, okay.
So in 2003, I started out as a participant on a team, and I was a cancer survivor back then and still am.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And over the years, my involvement grew, and I was a team captain for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I passed those duties on to my husband so that I could be part of the leadership planning team.
Oh, okay, great.
So, honey, you can do this, and I'm going to try to focus on something else.
Yeah.
And then I've been on this committee for probably about 12 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the committee back when they did the event at Bullen, and we outgrew Bullen, and Parkside was generous enough to let us use the facilities. And now we've been doing it on the outdoor track at Parkside for, it'll be going on 10 years.
Wow. Wow. Great. And Sharon, how long have you been involved with the project?
This is actually my second year on the committee.
Okay.
I, too, am a cancer survivor, 5 years.
Congratulations.
And my mom passed from cancer, kind of makes it near and dear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, her and I were, on the promotion this year. Mm-hmm. So that's our goal this year.
Yeah.
Just to get the awareness out there. It's a big year for us. We're very excited. Lots of new things planned.
Sure. And Karen, how about you? How did you get involved with Relay for Life?
I got involved in Relay through Parkside Employee Alumni Group.
Mm-hmm.
As being an employee here and being an alum, the group, has part of their activities that they do are, for the community. And they started a Relay for Life team many years ago, back when the event was at Bullen.
Oh, okay.
And I remember walking around the track at Bullen, so that's how long ago I've been involved in it. And then it became real important to me in, my personal life. My husband had cancer,
mm-hmm.
And so I think it, I have a passion for it, and I wanted to do more to help the event, and knowing that the event is hosted here at Parkside, I thought, well, one of the things that, that we really need is a relationship between Parkside and the Relay for Life. And so that's why I joined the committee. Our own personal officer, Kurt Bergendahl, is very tied up this year. And so he isn't on the committee this year, isn't as active on the committee this year.
Yeah.
And so I kind of stepped in to pick up the ball where a lot of the things that Kurt would do.
I want to get into the some of the dates and the things that you're doing with the kickoff and the event itself, but Michelle, I want to throw a question back to you. In the 17 years that you've been involved in this, what's been maybe the biggest changes you've seen? How has the event changed, grown? Excuse me.
I think one of the things I would say is when we're at Bullen, things were very structured, and it seemed very much more to be a somber type event. And
mm-hmm.
it had an opening. It had a lot of, like, formal presentations, structure, timed moments. Also, we had, like, a food tent, and it was, like, things in one way seemed kind of limited. And I think since we've moved to Parkside, having a larger venue and having probably more people involved and more perspectives, it seems like we've made it a little bit more of a balanced celebration. We still have the somber moments, and there's still structure. And, you know, some of the favorite moments that many people have are the quiet times when they read the names on the luminary bags, and we talk about people who maybe have passed or people that we're honoring with the luminaries. And we still have speakers, and we still learn a little bit about the programs and things. But then we have, I guess, a lot more unstructured time and fun times at the event at Parkside. And we last year we had a kids zone, and I think that was very well received. And there was a bounce house and kids activities. And those were things that the kids could do either for free or at a very minimal cost. And I think that that brought that same level of fun and celebration to the younger people that maybe we haven't had in a few years. So that was nice. There's a lot of more food choices. There's a lot more, I think, interaction, and there's a lot more to see when you go around the track, maybe compared to in the past when we were at Bullen.
So. Well, it's a great venue here.
You know,
From the parking or the size or the ease of getting here, you know, from anywhere almost, you know, pretty easy to get to Parkside. Give me an idea, either one of you, about the schedule. What's coming up? You've got a kickoff in mid-late March.
March 23rd.
Tell me about the kickoff.
The kickoff is where we are trying to build that excitement, get teams out. We just want to give them information about survivors, about the different activities that we're looking to fill at the event, to get volunteers for the events. We're also going to have multiple vendors on site so people can learn about some different products, nothing for sale, but some vendors are going to be on site, plus some food. There will be a little bit of a presentation from Matthew Elmer, who is our American Cancer Society representative. So he'll be giving a presentation. I don't know if anybody else was planning to give one. But yeah, it's just a introduction to what's coming for 2020.
Now, is it I'll ask an uninformed question. And so if I step on myself here, don't get too mad at me. But for the kickoff event, are you encouraging the public to attend, or is it more just the group, or who are you trying to attract to that?
I would say anybody and everybody who wants to be involved or even just wants to learn more.
Okay.
So I think this is an excellent opportunity if you've heard the words Relay for Life and you don't know what they mean, or if you thought it was a different kind of organization or you didn't know it was connected to the American Cancer Society.
Right.
This is the time to come out and learn about what it is, Relay for Life. You know, it's the signature fundraising event, the biggest event that most communities do to make money and raise funds for the American Cancer Society. And there's so much more to it even than the fundraising, as I alluded to with the celebration of survivorship and remembering those that we've lost and talking about hope and learning about research. And I think that this kickoff will just be kind of enough that would people who really wanted to know more could learn more, and I think that they would be enticed enough to want to come back and to either come to a participant meeting between now and when the event starts. Maybe they would want to join a team, maybe they would want to start a team and they would want to be the captain and maybe have some friends and relatives join them. And they can learn, you know, how easy that is just by simply attending this kickoff event. And there will be free food, as Sharon alluded to. We'll have some appetizers, refreshments.
Free food. Excellent.
Yeah. Gotta have that.
Yeah. Gotta have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we're going to be talking about, we promote what's called chemo care bags. So if you bring any items to donate to chemo care bags, and there will be a list on our website, you'll get a ticket. We're going to have some drawings so if you donate, you're going to get a ticket. Every booth that you visit, you'll get a ticket to go into these drawings. So we're hoping that that'll be enough to bring out the people. We're definitely looking for a big group.
Sure.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're excited.
Sure. Okay. So that, again, that's March 23rd.
March 23rd.
And that is... I can step on myself here again.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. It is at here at UW Parkside.
At the ballroom.
In the ballroom. Monday.
Student Center ballroom.
March 23rd.
6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. What's next on the Relay for Life agenda following the kickoff on March 23rd here at UW Parkside?
Well, one of the things that we have planned is an annual lunch, and we have Texas Roadhouse, who is a great supporter of Relay for Life, and they are providing a lunch. Not often are they open at lunchtime, but on Monday, April 13th, they will be.
Oh, okay.
And from 11 to 2, you can come and you can bring friends and join local cancer survivors and caregivers, people who are volunteers. And we'll all wait on you, and you can order a fantastic lunch that includes a pulled pork sandwich, applesauce, fries, and a drink. And that lunch is courtesy of Texas Roadhouse, so there's no cost for the lunch. But we ask that you generously tip your server, because all the money from the tips goes to the American Cancer Society. So this is a very generous way that Texas Roadhouse supports us.
And it is.
And all the money that we raise from the lunch goes back to the American Cancer Society.
Okay.
So the Parkside Employee Alumni Group will be participating in the Texas Roadhouse lunch.
Okay.
By we will be sending out, you know, campus emails to see if we can get people to sign up to have a lunch, and we'll go pick up your lunch, and we'll bring it to your workstation, and you'll have, you know, free lunch.
Yeah,
All you have to do is generously tip your PIG employee, and they will turn in all their funds.
But I got a problem right now, because I've done that in the past, and I don't think I've gotten fries.
Oh.
I think I've gotten potato chips, and the fry thing, when I heard you talk about the fries, I thought, I want to get in on that.
So I think if you eat in... And it's more, not necessarily I think, it's more of I know. Mm-hmm. If you eat at Texas Roadhouse, it's much easier to plate the food up and to have the fries available.
Yeah.
If you do carry out, to make it easy to transport and so that your food is at a decent temperature when you get it,
right.
Chips are included
as
opposed to the fries.
Yeah. So and maybe I'll have to do maybe I'll have to go to Texas Roadhouse.
I think so.
Rather than I can still tip a PIG member.
Yes, and you just make sure that you just tell your server that you want that money to go to the PIG team.
Oh, wow.
The Real Amazing Rangers.
Okay.
UW Parkside Real Amazing Rangers. Yeah.
Great. And again, that's April 13th. Is that a Monday as well?
It's a Monday.
That's a Monday. And that would be, if people were going to go, they would go to the Texas Roadhouse location in Kenosha.
Yep. Correct. Yep.
And where is that's where
out
is
by
that?
The interstate. So if you're familiar with Woodman's and Steinhoffel's and
Best Buy,
it's right near those locations.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. And then all of this leads up to the event itself, right?
Correct. Yep.
And what date are we looking at for the event itself?
That is August 7th, starts on August 7th, which is a Friday night, and it runs all night until Saturday morning.
Wow.
So it's a long one, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, bring your comfy clothes and bring some blankets, because it can get cold down there in the bowl, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Wow. And any idea, like how many people you have turn out for the event? Do you keep track of the number of people that turn out each year for the event in August?
So I think that there's probably some different perspectives on this. Like, we keep track of the number of survivors because all the survivors who come to the event get a free T-shirt. And we want to be able to, I guess, celebrate you. And so we'll ask, you know, how many years of survivorship you've had. And if you'd like to share that information, that's great. Mm-hmm. If you don't, that's okay.
Yeah.
So every year we try to increase the number of survivors. And I would say we generally shoot for about 300 is our goal every year of 300 survivors.
Yeah.
And then every year we keep track of the number of teams we have.
Okay.
And to be a team, you could be a team of one or you could be a team of 20 or more.
Yeah.
You know, at one time in the past, we used to have limitations on the number of people who were part of a team.
Okay.
And so sometimes people would get discouraged. They'd be like, well, I know we can only have 15 on our team and we've got 17. Does that mean we need another team?
Yeah.
And there is no limit to the number of people you can have on a team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you feel like 10 is a great number for you, good. If you feel like 20, great. Mm-hmm. But we'll just keep track of the number of teams we have. And we'll know who's on each team, so we'll be able to get a participant head count.
Yeah.
And then the general public is invited, and that number kind of fluctuates. Usually we see a big surge right when the event starts. So anywhere between 4 and 4:30, people will start arriving,
mm-hmm.
and then cancer survivors will start registering, and you start seeing more purple shirts for the cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it stays pretty busy until maybe 8, 9 o'clock, and it starts thinning out a little bit. And then we have the luminary ceremony, and we have generally the bagpipers come and play and lead a lap, and there's an honorary caregiver who speaks.
Wow.
And so that's a ceremony that a lot of people stick around for and like.
Yeah.
And then after that, we try to continue to have activities to keep people engaged throughout the night. And if you're on a team and you want to spend the night, the teams are definitely encouraged to spend the night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're from the general public and you want to stop by at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you're getting off of work, you can do that. And we'll be there.
Yeah. We're going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sharon, talk a little bit about when you say the teams and you've got 10 people on a team or 12 or whatever the number is, what are the teams doing?
So I'm part of the Bark for Life team. So we also have a separate event called Bark for Life.
You do in September.
We do. That's in September.
I put a poster up for that.
You did.
Just the other day. Yeah.
But so different teams have like their different, so you're fundraising for your own team.
Okay.
So like sometimes we'll be selling food. Sometimes it may be bracelets or keychains, or we do have sweatshirts and t-shirts for Bark for Life. So we're selling those.
Mm-hmm.
And then that money goes to our team, but then it all goes to American mm-hmm. Cancer Society.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, okay.
So like Michelle, her team, they sell ice cream and they do very well. My husband enjoyed it very much last year. So yeah, the teams, everybody has a fundraising goal that they're going for, but they all have their own thing. Some have raffle baskets and it's a wide range of what teams do.
Yeah. So what are they, I hear Relay for Life, what's the relay part?
The walking.
Oh, okay.
I guess you can say that it goes all the way back to when it first started, and in Kenosha, all the way back means going back all the way to the days of Nick Scavone.
Okay.
And the idea, he was like, you know, kind of a pioneer in Kenosha to have this event. But these days, team-wise, it's suggested that one or more participants who are on a team walk the track at any given time.
Oh,
so logistically, if you have a team like myself or Sharon's, and you have a certain number of people participating, for my team, if we're selling root beer floats and ice cream sundaes and doing things at our campsite,
mm-hmm.
We still want to have a few representatives from our team walking the track.
Yeah.
And so generally we'll write kind of a loose schedule and say, you know, for the first few hours, let's have, you know, my son walk and my daughter walk and, you know, maybe another team member.
Yeah.
And then for the next shift, we'll switch off and they can come, you know, sit at the campsite and relax, or they can scoop ice cream, and then we'll send another group of people out. But wow. That team concept and that relay is always making sure that somebody is walking the track.
And I think there's some significance to that. And I think that's what's important mm-hmm. about everybody walking is that my understanding was is that the significance is that the fight against cancer never quits.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's
okay.
why
yeah.
you just continuously walk around the track and yeah. you mm-hmm. never quit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why it's rain or shine, too, because cancer doesn't stop for rain or snow or 100-degree heat. So
yeah,
it right, keeps going right. no matter what the weather
yeah,
is, too.
Unfortunately, yeah.
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 And we always walk one direction, too, around mm-hmm. the track. And then oh. in the morning, after we announce the total that was raised, mm-hmm. we generally walk counterclockwise.
Oh, okay.
And that's to kind of show us turning back and fighting against cancer. So, you know, we'll walk one direction the whole night mm-hmm. and then only at that point in the ceremony when we're getting ready to close do we walk the other direction.
Oh, okay. Okay. And Karen, talk a little bit about how PEG first gets involved with Relay for Life. How did that happen? Do you know?
No, I don't. I'm not sure. Like I said, it was part of PEG's, I think, charter is that they, you know, need to have some kind of activity where they're involved with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who it was that decided that Relay for Life would be the activity, but once they started it, they've done it every year since, and,
sure.
and it just continues, and it, you know, it's something that I think that all, it's important to all the PEG members, you know, in all the years I've been on that committee, the members have changed, but the feeling and the importance about the relay has never changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know, so.
And so that's the Parkside Employee Alumni Group. And there's, what do we have here, like 150, 60, something like that?
Yeah.
People who are Parkside alums who are working here mm-hmm. at UW-Parkside. You're they right. loved it so much as students, they did not want to leave. So they decided to stay here and work.
Right.
Talk about some of the other teams that get involved and what they do.
Sure. I think we can talk about some of the other teams, and then I think we could probably talk about some of the aspects on the planning committee as well. Team-wise, I know that there's a variety of teams out in our community. Some are family teams. So one of the teams that I can think of is the Polara family. Polara Cancer Fighters is what they call themselves. They have a very large extended family, and they all come together to support the cause, mm-hmm. and they all believe in the cause, mm-hmm. and many of them are part of the executive planning committee, but even those that aren't pitch in for days and weeks leading up to the mm-hmm. event.
Yeah.
And they're generally one of the teams that has a very nice offering of food available, mm-hmm. and they have a nice assortment of baskets available, and they have drawings, and they have beautiful handmade quilts and crafts
wow.
that they put out to raise money at the event.
Mm-hmm.
There's other churches that are part of, you know, church-based groups that are part of the event. St. Mary's Lutheran has been coming for many years.
Mm-hmm.
The team that I'm part of, St. Therese Church, has been coming just as long or longer than St. Mary's Lutheran, mm-hmm. and I believe we're probably two of the most, faith-based groups that have the longest duration at the event.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And, you know, some of them you get to learn the same teams sell the same things or host the same events leading up and to raise money. And I know that St. Mary's Lutheran typically does popcorn at the event.
Oh.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I know our team always does ice cream and root beer floats and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group from the Aurora Cancer Center, some of the employees there, that come together, and every year they always have a nice offering of different items up for raffle and drawing baskets.
Oh, okay.
They Great. Usually have bikes and other things mm-hmm. that they have to raise money out there.
Yeah.
There's teams that do pizza and have, you know, drinks available, water, soda, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no shortage of food if you come out to the event.
Oh.
And there's no shortage of fun with, you know, some of the different things that you might be able to bid on or get drawing tickets for.
Sure.
And another newer team was Burn Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a class. you know, and we've had Zumba there before too on other years. So you can also get some, other than walking, you can also get some really good fitness in there too. And Burn Fitness was one of our, was a big contributor last year, which raised a lot of money. So
interesting. That's good.
For our first year. So,
How, and I know that Kenosha is not the only place where there's a Relay for Life event.
No.
And does the Kenosha Relay for Life, do you guys talk to other Relay for Life areas to say, oh, here's something that's working, or this has been successful for us, or do you share kind of ideas with one another?
Sometimes we do. I think that, you know, either we experience it firsthand by going to other relays and seeing what they have to offer, whether it's activities, food, entertainment, or sometimes we hear it through the grapevine. But I think over the years we've done a lot of successful things that either we repeat if it's successful or that others tend to copy us. I can say that we've raised a lot of money, particularly in the Midwest. For a long time, we were the number one Relay for Life in the entire Midwest. Wow. And that was years and years in a row.
Yeah.
I think things have been changing a little bit just because of the way they restructured kind of the map for the Cancer Society and how they group states. The territories got bigger, so it's harder to be number one now because you're competing against more states than you were previously. But it's okay. We still do a great job raising money here, and we still raised a ton of money over the life of Relay.
Over $4 million in our 25 years. So
that's serious.
It's a lot of money.
That's serious money.
It's something to be proud of.
We're talking with Karen Graber, Sharon Burnett, and Michelle Genowine, part of the organizing committee for Relay for Life of Kenosha. And the kickoff event is March 23rd, Monday, March 23rd, here at UW Parkside, 6 to 8 p.m. Another Monday, April 13th, will be the lunch event with the Texas Roadhouse supplying, being very generous with their lunch there. And you can go there and get a lunch and tip your server, and the money that you tip the server goes to Relay for Life, and that's fantastic. And then the event itself takes place August, help me, 7th. Sharon.
August 7th.
August 7th.
Yeah, to the 8th.
August 7th to the 8th for the, going through the night. So that's a pretty neat deal. What do you like, and we've got a few minutes left here, what do you like best about being involved? What, I mean, these things, it's always time, effort, and doing that. And what's the best part about it?
You're part of something bigger than yourself. Especially when you've had cancer or watched a loved one go through cancer, it puts a different perspective. It's a bigger world. It means something to everybody, and it touches everybody.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I agree.
It doesn't discriminate, and if there's any little thing that we can do to make things better until there's a cure, whether that means better programs, more availability for services, more money for research. I'm willing to look at those short-term goals in order to get to a long-term goal of a cure.
Right, and I agree with Michelle. I think it's so important that we can help support the research because that's what's so critical. That's what's going to help, you know, finally get a cure.
Right.
So that we can, you know, win this fight against against cancer. One of my other personal favorite things is just being involved with my family at this event. I love having my husband there, and my granddaughter usually comes, and you know, there's nothing better than going on a scavenger hunt at 2 or 3 a.m.
And what do you find?
Whatever's on the list.
It could be crayons. It could be tickets. Yeah. It could be anything, a paperclip. Yeah. Whatever's on the list.
At Parkside, maybe a coyote or a deer. You know, who knows what you're going to find out there.
You know, and is it okay if I put in just a few? They're from 2018, but a few quick stats.
You put in all the stats you want, Sharon.
And this is, again, from 2018, so I don't have the updated from last year. But it's important to know where your dollars go. So there was $405.5 million given to 150 different grants for research. And this is nationwide. We have offered 340,000 rides to patients who don't have a way to treatment. We provide those, American Cancer Society. There is Hope Lodge in different communities, and that's a hotel where people can go when they don't have a place to stay or their families don't have a place to stay during treatment. We've given out 452,000 free nights. So these are just some of those things that are so important. There's also peer support groups, online navigation to help get you to those support groups, call centers. So it's just a big, we do a lot, and the money goes to this. We are purely driven by
volunteers.
Thank you. It's like we don't, you don't see a lot of flashy advertising. It's grassroots. So the money goes to where you want it to go, which is the research and the people.
And I guess one of the things that I would like to throw in on how it impacts our community, I think we mentioned earlier that we're collecting things for chemo care bags. Some of the items that we've collected in the past and will continue to collect this year to put together chemo care bags include throw blankets, fuzzy socks, headwear for folks who experience some hair loss, maybe some hard candy or something to suck on if you have nausea or dry mouth, moisturizer, lip balm, travel tissue, hand sanitizer, pens, journals, puzzle books, neck pillows, things to make people comfortable either while they're receiving chemo or maybe after they've received chemo. And we donate those chemo care bags to the two cancer centers in Kenosha. So we put those together here in Kenosha and distribute them in Kenosha.
That's great.
Through the two cancer centers.
Yeah, that's great.
And then also, we do a survivor breakfast in Kenosha, and so we make it local by celebrating our survivors even before the actual Relay for Life event. And we generally host that in July, and I believe the date for that this year is Sunday, July 19th. And we offer a free breakfast to the survivors. They get their purple t-shirt early if they would like it early, as opposed to having it distributed out at Parkside at the event. They can bring their caregivers with them. They can bring other friends and family. And it's a very nominal cost for those folks to eat. It's about $5 a head, and the survivors eat free. So there's things that we do in our community that maybe others that are involved with Relay don't necessarily do for their community, but we feel good about what we do here in Kenosha.
And thank you for the time. The time has gone by really quickly, and we've been talking with Karen Graber, Sharon Burnett, and Michelle Genowine from Relay for Life Kenosha on the organizing committee, and they've gone through all of the dates for the kickoff and the Texas Roadhouse event and the event itself. If someone does want to get involved in it, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you guys?
Sure. I would say one way is to come out to the kickoff event, and we'll have different booths around the ballroom, and you can go up to different volunteers that'll be there. If there's something in particular that interests you, if you'd like to be part perhaps of the luminary area and help volunteer your time at the event in the luminary tent, you can do that. If you are a business owner and you are generous enough that you want to help support us, whether that's a monetary pledge or whether that's allowing us to maybe insert some things into the advertising campaigns that you already do, we'd love to talk to you about publicity and advertising. So you can definitely see us at the kickoff, or if you don't have the opportunity to come that night but you want to be in contact with us, we have a Relay for Life Facebook page, and it's the Kenosha Relay for Life. You can look it up, Kenosha Relay for Life on Facebook, or you can visit the website www.relayforlife.org/Kenosha, Wisconsin, or you can contact our staff partner, Matthew Elmer, and he has an email address of matthew.elmer, E-L-M-E-R, at cancer.org, or a phone number of 262-523-5574. And we are willing to take any and all volunteers.
Great, great. And lots of ways to get involved. So, again, we've been talking with Sharon Burnett, Michelle Genwine, and Karen Graber from Relay for Life Kenosha. And, ladies, thank you for the time.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it very much.
To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everybody.